This is Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. At the top of our program, imagine having cancer and having to drive hours to the nearest specialist every time you needed treatment, or having a kid with strep throat but no way to get them to the doctor's office. With fewer doctors and a dispersed population, the 20% of Americans living in rural areas face unique healthcare challenges. Doctors at Michigan State University are hoping a recent grant can help them address some of those challenges. Joining us to talk about the work of the Rural Community Health Program is Director Andrea Wendling, who's also a family physician up in Boyne City. Andrea, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
What would you say are the biggest healthcare challenges for people living in rural areas in our state, in Michigan?
The people in rural Michigan, There are many disparities that they face. First is economic disparities. They tend to be poorer than people who are living in metropolitan areas. They have an educational disparity where they tend to have less opportunity afforded by education. And then also this health status disparity where they have higher rates of chronic disease and higher mortality rates than metropolitan populations. And then most of them are living in health professional shortage areas at the same time throughout rural Michigan and have transportation issues and logistical issues that complicate all of those other factors.
What are some of those chronic diseases you alluded to?
Heart disease, stroke, respiratory disease, the main chronic diseases. And then also mental health is a big issue for residents of rural counties as well. And most of those counties are, almost all of those counties actually are mental health professional shortage areas also.
The closure of rural hospitals has also created challenges across the country. According to the National Rural Health Association, 55 of those rural hospitals have closed their doors since 2010, and 283 others are at risk of closing. Is this a problem here in Michigan as well?
Yes. And every time those rural hospitals close, it complicates that issue because rural residents then have to travel many more miles to access care. And many of those hospitals that are closing are critical access hospitals, which means they provide emergency care services, acute care services to residents of those counties. In Michigan, for instance, Sheboygan Hospital closed, which was a critical access hospital, and the patients in those counties in the northeastern part of the state need to travel to Petoskey or Alpena to get care that they would have been able to get at home before that hospital closed.
Dr. Andrea Wendling is the director of the Rural Community Health Program at Michigan State University and a family physician in Boyne City. We're talking about the effort to expand health care access to residents of rural Michigan. Briefly, Andrea, why are these rural hospitals closing?
Mostly it has to do with economics. The hospitals are closing because they don't have the money to stay open. Some of it has to do with how they are funded. The critical access hospitals receive cost-based reimbursement from Medicare, but certain areas like obstetrics and acute care, emergency room care, don't have the percentage of Medicare patients to be able to support those services. But it really is a financial issue.
What kind of impact does this whole landscape have on the health of people in rural Michigan?
When they can't access care, they do tend to put things off longer. So when they do access care, they tend to be sicker at that point. The other thing that happens is that if there are less primary care physicians in these areas, then they tend to access emergency rooms when they have acute needs rather than working with a primary care doc to take care of more chronic or preventative needs.
What kind of doctors are needed the most? You alluded, again, you suggested that there are higher rates of chronic diseases in rural areas. What does that add up to as far as what kinds of doctors we need in rural areas?
Yeah, there's some rural in-need specialties. So primary care docs are our biggest need. And primary care docs would be family physicians, internal medicine physicians, and pediatricians. Also, we have a shortage of psychiatrists, general surgeons, and general OB-GYNs. So most of the docs that are needed in rural areas are generalists as opposed to specialists. But we need to meet the primary care needs of this population.
And here a really critical question, obviously. Why is it harder to get physicians to work in rural settings?
There are a couple of issues. Some of it goes back to the biggest predictor of who works in a rural area is who grew up in a rural area. So there's part of it that goes back to admissions. Right now, about 10% of physicians practice in rural areas throughout the nation and in Michigan. But about 90% of medical students are from metropolitan or suburban areas. And so there are less rural students getting into medical school, which is really more of a pipeline issue, less rural students applying to medical school because they're less likely to have graduated from college and less likely to have gone to college as you go back. And then there's a second issue, which is historically, at least for the last 100 years, most of our medical education has been centralized in metropolitan areas and tertiary care centers. And so because of that, students are not necessarily as comfortable practicing in low-resource areas or rural areas because most or all of their training has occurred in more metropolitan regions.
Mm-hmm. Will your program actively try to get more physicians to practice in rural areas in Michigan?
Yeah, our program, we have, part of it is we look for students who are interested in practicing in rural areas or students who have life experiences in rural areas, and then we take those students and give them a substantial amount of their medical school clinical training within a rural community. And not only do we do the clinical training there, but we also have those students work with hospital leadership. They work with the public health department. They work with community members so that they can understand the economics and the special needs of those communities. And they can also understand how healthcare is networked and delivered by all of these other partners as well within those rural counties. So not only are we working on trying to find the right students to put into this program, but then we're also giving them substantial amounts of training within that rural region so that they would be more comfortable practicing in those areas after graduation.
I have to ask you this, because of the doctor shortages in rural areas, are physicians like you who settle down in more rural areas or smaller towns like Boyne City, are you busier than your urban and suburban counterparts?
Well, we're certainly busy trying to meet the needs of the population, and because we're practicing within a shortage area, there are more people who need to access care. So I'm not sure how busy my suburban peers are, but we certainly are feeling the need within our community.
Well, the reason I ask is that I'm wondering, there may well be young physicians who are at this crossroads in their career, but they know they're going to get absolutely deluged. They're going to really, really work hard if they decide to practice in a rural area. Is that in play here?
You know, there are ways to... I haven't felt that.
Okay.
We're busy. We're taking care of our community, but we work with physician assistants. We work with physician extenders to be able to meet those needs. We work really well with our specialty colleagues. There are different things within our practice, like telemedicine services, so that we're able to access subspecialists in other regions as well. We utilize our hospital systems in a way that really helps us to preserve our quality of life also. And so I found it a very rewarding place to practice. I love my community. I love my job. I wouldn't practice anywhere else.
I'm under the impression that technology has helped improve this situation, though, as well. I mean, are there ways to improve healthcare access in rural communities through technology?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mentioned the telemedicine piece.
Right.
We have an acute need in our county. It's a mental health shortage area, and especially from a child psychiatry standpoint, we really don't have resources here to be able to meet the needs of our population. So we've partnered with University of Michigan to provide telemedicine services so that when we need to access a child psychiatrist, we can call, we can discuss that case, but then also that psychiatrist is able to see our patients within our office using telemedicine. We have many specialists who travel here who will cover multiple small communities by coming one day a month or 2 days a month to a smaller community so that we can group our patients and have them see that person within their own community rather than having all of those patients travel. And also the internet has helped tremendously. Clearly, we can access information from our office and in these rural communities the same as we could access if we were, you know, sitting at the university with the library system. We can get the information that we need in real time to be able to take care of our patients.
Is the Affordable Care Act impacting rural medicine in any way?
Yes, I think in a very positive way, because many of the people in our rural communities were not covered by insurance before the Affordable Care Act, and now they're able to get insurance. So our number of uninsured has decreased, and our number of partially insured has decreased as more people have been able to pick up Medicaid. And the other thing that has happened, especially in our region in northern Michigan, is that we have many seasonal employees that will work two part-time jobs, you know, or we'll piece it together that way, and they were never able to have employer-sponsored insurance because of either the seasonal aspect of their work or the part-time aspect of their work. And now they are able to have insurance through the exchange and are able to put together jobs that are part-time jobs or seasonal jobs, which actually economically has helped families.
We have less than a minute, but I have to ask you the following question. When you talk to young physicians who are not committed to a particular community yet, what do you say to them about any benefits to working in a smaller community? Does that conversation unfold?
Yeah, I invite them to come and work with me in my office and see what it truly is like. But I think that the relationship part is a benefit. The fact that you have these interconnected relationships when you're working and practicing in a community, but also this piece where every day is a challenge. You know, you get to use your problem-solving skills. You get to creatively solve challenges for patients who are living and working in these low-resource areas, and it really adds this dimension to the job that is beneficial. It adds joy to the job because of the ability to help people in these communities.
Dr. Andrea Wendling is the director of the MSU Rural Community Healthcare Program, which just received a grant to expand its work, bringing doctors to the state's underserved rural areas. Dr. Wendling, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.